Hey everyone. Yes. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
No. Yes? Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, it is such an honor and a pleasure to be joined by the truly great Chris Schaefer. Chris, you are my king.
Wow. No.
I serve at your throne.
I don't believe that.
I look up to you. You're my idol.
Okay.
That's how this whole thing started.
Okay.
And you still are 6 years in. Chris, how's it going today? How you doing? I think we are getting into fall here finally.
Yeah.
One day. Well, actually, as this comes out, we're recording this one day before October starts, and it will come out on the first Monday of October. So we are truly in fall. We must be. And it's great to see the weather break. And are you a fall guy? Is this your time of year? Is this when you shine? How's it going?
I'm not going to say I'm a fall guy because, you know, that's like saying, do you like it when things are easy? It's like, yeah, of course everyone likes the fall because we just went through summer and it's nice to have some cool weather and a change in scenery. But, I like every season as long as they keep changing.
Like all the seasons.
Yeah.
What about? Well, good. You get them now down in Texas.
Yeah. I know I'm looking forward to having power all winter this year. Mm-hmm. So
let's hope.
Yeah. So that'll be great. It'll be a good winter for that reason.
Well, Chris, I myself am very much enjoying this change in weather here. I get the sense a lot of people stop working and then get back to work in the fall.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not really our thing. We just kind of work throughout the year, but it's nice to see everybody back.
Thank you for coming back.
And, we're going to have a great end to the year here for the Paid Search Podcast, and then we'll dive into 2022. So, Chris, today we're going to be doing a deep dive on our old friend here, conversion and conversion tracking. And, you know, just to preview the episode a little bit, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, what generated the idea to do this episode, why it's so important, what we're seeing out there with clients and all that kind of stuff. And then we're just going to kind of break it down into two simple things, ways to track conversions and then conversion settings, because you got to know how you track these conversions, but then you also got to know the nuances of the conversions page and the different settings and how that can affect your data. Super important topic, affects everything you do inside Google Ads, but our aim today is going to be to make this important topic also simple and digestible and something that people can understand so they can go out there and make their Google Ads campaigns better. So Chris, we will be getting into that shortly, but first a message from you about Optio.
Guys, Optio is the tool that if you haven't tried it out, you are absolutely missing out. This is a software. It's a software that is online. You don't install anything on your computer. You just log in and it automatically connects to your Google Ads accounts, okay? And it helps you with the things that you hear about on this show, the things that you make checklists for, the things that you try and remember to change your ad copy, as we talked about last week. You know, the things about pausing certain keywords and changing bids. You know, you need to write new ads. You need to increase this keyword bid. You need to adjust this location bid, add a negative keyword, pause this duplicate keyword. Sometimes, you know, the days are busy and you don't have everything. You don't have all the time to be able to get all this done. This is the tool that can help you power through your accounts, especially if you have more than one account. It can power through the management of that account and get more done. If you're a small business owner and you're managing your own campaign, it's even more important because you don't have time to spend 6 hours a day on your account like you'd love to. You got to manage a business. So this will help you power through that system and get your account running well. I'm talking about Optio. You can try Optio for 8 weeks for free. Use the link in our show notes to try it out. It's opteo.com/psp2 to give it a try. You're going to like it as many, many, many of our listeners already have.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Now, we're going to talk about conversion tracking. I would say for me, until I broke down conversion tracking in a very simple way, like we will do on this episode, it was a stressful topic. It was a topic that seemed like something that was difficult to do over and over and over for many clients to get it running correctly. But then once I broke it down in a simple way, it became doable all of a sudden and very manageable. But with that said, Chris, when I say the words conversion tracking to you and you think about all the clients you work for, all the consulting you do and the coaching and that kind of thing, what word comes to mind when I say conversion tracking?
When I think about conversions, the first thing that comes to mind is the number one missed simple thing in Google Ads. And you say, well, wouldn't keywords be that? Well, no, because keywords aren't simple, right? Keywords are something you constantly engineer. You say, well, you know, aren't bids pretty simple? You just set it. And no, you always need to change your bids and tweak your bids. You know, there's nothing as simple as conversion tracking that is missed so consistently. You set it up once, and then it provides data for the rest of your account. It's if you don't have it, every day that you don't have it, you're missing out on the most important thing. Do people purchase? How many people called? How many people clicked on this? How many people signed up? How many people went to this page of your funnel based on, you know, the number of clicks that you got? Which keywords were those? Which ad copy did that the most? You know, what time of day? What device? All of those questions are answered by conversion tracking. And it's amazing how consistent that is ignored.
Yeah, I would love to know from Google to get data on what percent of accounts
for
service companies and lead generation are tracking all three things we'll talk about: website calls, call extension calls, and lead forms.
Yeah.
I mean, my guess would be not more than 30 or 40%. Yeah. That might be generous because actually tracking all three and doing it correctly. The thing is, like you say, it's not that hard to get this set up. It pays dividends forever, and it really, really matters. So we want to show how easy it is when you think about it in the context which we'll lay out today. Chris, a few weeks ago, I answered a question in our Q&A episode, and I talked about seeing the account as if I'm sitting outside the matrix and looking at the screen, and I can see what's going on in an account just by looking at the data. I can see what's going on in the search results just by looking at the data. Very egotistical statement, but let me walk in the other direction for a second and say, as good as I am at Google Ads and as good as you are at Google Ads, we will always be better if we can get all the conversion tracking data.
Yep, well
the
said.
More conversion tracking data you and I get, the better we'll be. And even though us and the other great managers out there, even though we can be great at our jobs and get great performance by seeing only some of the conversions and thinking about the intent of the search terms and making estimates and decisions based on the partial data we get, if we can get the full data, we're always going to be better. Yep. And I will say, when I've looked at accounts and then when I get full data, full conversion data on those accounts, I'm often surprised on what actually is working and to the extent it's working and what's not working. And a lot of the time, it's not just intuition. It's not just things you think like, oh, this keyword's going to work just like this other keyword's going to work. When you get all the data, sometimes you find that two similar keywords or topics, they both work, but one works to like a much larger extent. And sometimes it's just weird. And the nice thing is when you have all the data, you don't have to question yourself. You can actually just go off of that data. So, Chris, in terms of ways to track conversions, the way I've been thinking about it for the last couple of years for lead generation service company campaigns, there's only three ways to track conversions, only three kinds of conversions you can get: calls on your website, calls from the call extension in the ads, and then people filling out a form on your website. I understand there's nuances, like your email address can be on the website and stuff like that. But in general, do you like the way I break that down for service companies? And do you have any thoughts on e-commerce? Is e-commerce even simpler?
Yeah, I absolutely agree that there's not much variety. I would even simplify it further. You know, I mean, the ways to track can vary. you know, you say filling out a form on your website, but, you know, maybe some people mean, you know, booking an appointment, you know, that's still a form,
Good point.
When you say filling out a form, it could mean a lot of different things, but, you know, the easiest way to say it is they take some action on your website, but it can be even simpler than that. They reach out in some way, whether they purchase, call, connect, email, fill out a form, just connecting, just taking some kind of action. It is a confirmation of an action that's taken on a website. That's all we want to know. Did someone take an action?
I think that's a great point. So e-commerce, the ultimate action could be they buy something.
Yeah.
And then service companies, the action is taking it to the next step. They do a search, they see your ad, they click on your ad, they go to your website. They're still, to you as the business owner, they're still the same person that's the other people that have never been to your website. To you as the business owner, if you're walking down the street, one person's been to your website, the other person hasn't, you can't really tell a difference between those people. How are you going to turn the person that's been on your website into someone that gives you money? Well, like you say, Chris, there's got to be some outreach done by that person, some connection made. And that's what we're trying to track here. So how do you make connection? You call a company. How do you call? Well, you can call from the website. And a lot of people don't understand this, but if I do a search, and whether it's on my phone or my desktop, and I go to Google Ads, I do a search, I click on an ad, I go to the website, and then I either click on the number on the website or I pull out my phone and I dial the number I see on my desktop on the website, those calls can be tracked. And they can be tracked with third-party softwares, but they can also be tracked, as of a few years ago, through Google Ads conversion code that's free, and that can be generated from inside the account. And what happens is the numbers change themselves into a forwarding number. The font size, color, all that style stays the same, but the person dials a forwarding number. So you can track those website calls, call extension, they click on the phone number in the ad, and then website forms / website connection, they book a meeting, they fill out a contact us form, something to that nature. Those are kind of the only ways you can connect as a service company, getting leads. Chris, if we're going to talk about this simply, if we're going to try to make this as easy as possible, where do you come down on soft conversions, the newsletter signups, the views of the contact page, the time on site? Are you factoring that in at all in this simple conversation, or are you really trying to keep things as simple as possible and as meaningful as possible and only track these core connection or sales kind of things?
Yeah, it's a good question. And to really emphasize, when you talk about just simple, right, if we're talking about whether you're tracking conversions or not, and if that's the point of the conversation you're at, then I don't care about downloading a white paper or, you know, things that don't generate revenue or aren't a significant action for you. So, no, those things don't matter. I don't track them. Now, a little bit later in the show, we'll get into settings and get into some deeper stuff. You know, then we can talk about some of that. But if you are not tracking conversions, don't start thinking about, well, I need to track whoever stays on the site 10 minutes or more. No, all I need to track who downloads a white paper or, you know, signs up for my newsletter. No, don't care. Don't need it. Let's just know what moves the needle. And those things generally aren't value driven types of things. They're interest, but they're not value driven.
And someone, it's a football field. Someone calls you, they start at their own goal line when they do a search. They do a search, they click on your ad, they go to your website, they're at the 50-yard line. They call you or they fill out a form to connect with you. You're in the red zone. You're within 20 yards of getting a touchdown here. They fill out a newsletter thing. Maybe you go from the 50-yard line to the 35-yard line, yeah, the 40-yard line, and you get a field goal, maybe. That time on site, 5 minutes, it's better than not 5 minutes.
Sure.
But now you're at the 40-yard line. We're really looking to make sure that when you call something in conversion, when you go, this keyword, this ad works, I want to increase my bids on it, that we know we're getting very close to someone giving you money. and generating revenue for your business. So I'm in agreement with you. Focus on these core things, either sales if it's e-commerce or phone calls or some kind of connection made through the website, like a form or a booking an appointment. So with that said, Chris, to me, we're going to talk about the settings. We're going to talk a little bit about implementation, some extra tips. But honestly, Chris, for me, as simple as this sounds and as easy it was to describe that and hopefully for people to take that in, that really makes a difference and it's made a difference for me when you simplify the mystery of conversion tracking or the aura around conversion tracking to just four things: sales or connection through either calls on the website, call extension, or a website form or something. Once I crossed that bridge and started thinking about it that way, it got so much easier to handle everything with conversion tracking because you're almost working backwards. You go, these are my goals. This is what I have to accomplish. It's not that complicated. Let's just accomplish it. So we can talk about how we accomplish those three or four things, but do you see the magic in that simplicity? Do you see how nice this can be if you think about it going forward this way?
Yeah, it'd be a crowded room of just strangers if you had no way of segmenting and filtering down the people who actually were your friends, right? You know, let's say you had 10,000 people that came to your site through Google Ads in the past year, and you're looking at data and you're trying to make a decision, you know, what do I do? Do I bid more on mobile devices? Do I, you know, bid more in this geographic location? But until you have a distinction, until you make every one of your customers hold up a flag and say, oh, I came through this way, this is the door I entered with, you'll never be able to make that decision in which one is a distinguished decision for you, which decision is going to make a difference in your account rather than a decision that is going to be indifferent. You know, a decision that absolutely makes no difference.
And one of the difficult things for business owners out there, Chris, is that even if they don't have this clear conversion data and this full conversion data, the problem is they will still make decisions.
Yeah.
And
that is a great
what happens
point.
Is, well, what happens is Google Ads, it's such an effective form of advertising.
Yeah.
Even if you're doing no conversion tracking, even if your keywords aren't perfect, even if 70% of your budget is not being spent correctly, or even worse, if it's going down the drain because you're really not running it correct, it's such a better form of advertising than a lot of other forms of advertising, mm-hmm. maybe all of them, mm-hmm. that business owners get success from Google Ads. And so they go, yeah, I'm spending $5,000 a month, and look, my business is up since before I was doing this. And so, great, they keep spending it, and that's the right decision, even if you don't have all the perfect data. But then when things get really mixed up is you go, Google Ads is working, I'm spending $5,000 a month, and then there's this whole weird dynamic of some business owners go into the yelling at employees, yelling at service providers who aren't tracking conversions for them and telling them, yeah, it's working, but this is $5,000 a month. This is real money. You better be making sure this one's great. I know my customers. Tuesdays at 1:15 to 2:15 p.m. on the first and the third week of the month, those are horrible times of the month. You better do something about that. And you get in these weird hunches that oftentimes, probably every time, are just they're not correct. And you could be making so much better decisions if you had the data. But they still will make the decisions without the data because there's so many things you can change and so many things you can do. That's why it matters here. But Chris, let's take a quick break here. Let's regroup, take a quick break, and we're going to finish up the show actually going into the conversion settings, looking at these columns that everyone wonders about, the count, the click-through, including conversions, repeat rates. And we're going to be giving our opinion on that, and then if there's time, we'll go into a final couple tips about some things we use that help us implement our conversions.
Do you ever lay in bed at night and think about your Google Ads campaign and worry about that one thing you didn't check, or you didn't consider if there were any disapproved ads, or there was something important that you completely ignored and forgot to check, guys, the tool that you're looking for is Optio. Optio gets all of that worry out of your mind because it provides informative alerts that can be sent to you automatically for things that are very important. You have an unexpected cost increase. There's a certain ad that's losing performance dramatically, you know, and you need to look at it. So these critical alerts can help you make a massive improvement in your campaign because not all of us have time to check the account every single day. Sometimes you just don't have time. So this tool is a great tool. Try it out for free for 8 weeks. You're gonna like it. It's gonna improve your account performance. That's optio.com/PSP2.
Okay, Chris, so we've broken it down into a simple way to look at conversions, which conversions to track. So now we talk about setting them up inside the Google Ads account. You know, whether you're talking about the actual, like when you make it, create a new conversion, the settings you choose when you do that, they will kind of play out in these columns on your conversions actions page under measurement. You go to conversions and it's conversion actions. So when we look at this conversion actions page here, Chris, very simple columns, very simple language, yes, no, one, every, those kind of things. But if you don't get these right, they can actually really influence your conversion data that you see in the conversion column yeah. on your keywords and ads. And then that's a really tough situation if you're not looking at that accurately and making very confident decisions based on the conversions you see. So you want to make sure your settings are right. So let's break down these columns. You know, whether it's a form kind of tracking or a phone call, this is going to apply here, and that is the count column. So your options there are to count just one conversion for a conversion or to count every conversion that comes in. So can you kind of explain the difference there, and then we'll talk about which one we prefer?
Yeah. So these are in the settings of each individual conversion, and the count is one setting option. And I'll tell you, it's going to be... I mean, I'm going to draw a line here and say if you are an e-commerce advertiser, you could probably go with every. You can count every conversion because every conversion is a sale. Now, if you are a person generating leads or doing anything outside of e-commerce, I'm going to suggest you probably go with one because every action is derived from an individual, and that individual is just one opportunity. If they convert multiple times, they call you and then they fill out a form, stuff like that. I mean, those are still the same person. So if they happen to fill out the form twice, you just want that one tracked per click. So pretty straightforward there. There's probably a few exceptions here and there, but this setting, I'll tell you, Jason, is one of the things that causes one of the biggest issues with false conversion metrics because if somebody has it set for phone calls every time somebody calls that number, it's going to rack up another conversion if it's the same person calling that number over and over again or filling out a form, or you have a bad website and you know, you put the code in the wrong spot and it fires every single time that page is loaded. I mean, that's a huge issue. You start getting conversion rates 30, 40, 50, 90%, and that's a big issue. You've lost a lot of reliability in your tracking.
Yeah, when you have the word count, you should be thinking of individual, of the person, of the user, and do you want to count that user every single time they take a conversion action? If it's sales, e-commerce, yes. Do you want to count that user every time they contact you as a service company? Probably not. You just want to count them once, even if they take multiple conversion actions from that one conversion. So that's how we look at count. Tracking status, I just always use that as a clue if I'm having problems with conversion tracking. They'll tell you if you don't have any recent conversions. Sometimes you just don't have recent conversions, but then sometimes they'll tell you, I think they'll say something to the extent of like they don't see the code or on your website or the code hasn't been seen. So it can kind of, you know, give you a clue if you're having problems. Chris, let's talk about include in conversions. Probably the most consequential and misunderstood column, and just kind of break down what is include in conversions and what does no and yes mean, your two options.
Yeah, this actually, we have to call back to before the break. When you talked about soft conversions and solid conversions, you know, this is kind of your trigger for determining whether something is a hard sale or a soft lead, you know. So if you uncheck include in conversions, this gets a little hairy, so hang with me here. If you uncheck include in conversions, it no longer tracks in the conversions column. What it does is it moves that tracking over to the all conversions. Okay, so there's a separate column that it shows up for. So even though it's still tracking conversion, it's a different type of conversion. I really hate the naming system. I wish there was a better way than calling it all conversion versus conversions, you know, but that's what we have. But that's what that is. So if you are more advanced, if you're listening to this, you're like, I got all this figured out. The next level up is to consider soft conversions, you know, conversions that are certain things, but they don't track within the system as a true conversion. And, you know, you can track, a newsletter sign up or something like that. These are things that show an action, but don't derive any monetary value from. So it's a great indicator. It's, you know, the more of this, I'll tell you what, Jason, would you ever say to a client that reached out that said, hey, I'd like to get more conversion tracking data, would you be opposed to me tracking, you know, this, and this as soft conversions, you know, secondary soft convert? I mean, would you ever tell a client no?
No, if you put those soft conversions and you checked including conversions and you unchecked that, so then it shows up as a no, do not include in conversions. And then you looked at it in your all conversions column. And then I think it's a good thing to do, because what you can do is you can go, okay, I have these two campaigns, or I have these two, yeah, let's keep it two campaigns. And I only have so much budget I can use. And my campaigns have a very similar cost per conversion, number of conversions, conversion rate. They're very similar, but I want to know, okay, of these two campaigns, they're getting me about the same and the same cost for my hard conversions, my real conversions, my leads. But is there something extra that one campaign's doing? A lot more time on site, a lot more newsletter signups, a lot more, if you're tracking it, like clicks to the social media links and stuff like that. Then you can look at your all conversions and column and see how much better you're getting those extra stuff, that extra stuff from one of the campaigns. And then you can go, well, at a surface level, they have the same conversion, same cost per conversion, but actually this other one gets me tons more of, magic word here, engagement in my business. So I'm going to go with the one that gives me the little cherry on top.
Yep.
And it will help make decisions like that. Do I run across clients like that every day or every month? No, but if you are, you know, tracking everything and you can get this tracking in place and have the discipline to not make these decisions too often, then yeah, I think in that kind of scenario, it always makes sense to have a few extra conversions on there that are checked as off, do not include, or no, do not include in conversions, and be generating that extra data. I think it's always a good thing if you know how to control it with this column, no and yes, and then also just being disciplined about not overusing that extra data.
Yep. There's no reason why I can't always use extra, as long as it's correct. That's the key point. As long as it's reliable data, it is always useful. That's the best part.
Okay, Chris. So that gets us now to the click-through conversion window. Trust me on this, a commonly misunderstood set of data here, even among longtime advertisers. So Chris, click-through conversion window, you can set it to 30 days, 90 days. I'm not sure if you can go more, maybe more. Any kind of custom in that range, maybe. Haven't changed it in a while. But basically what this will do is this will tell you, like, it'll open up your conversion window. And basically, it'll allow you, if you haven't set it, say 30 days, someone does a search, self-storage companies, they click on your ad, they don't fill out a form and they don't contact you. There's no conversion. But then like 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, within that 30-day range, they do a search, same search, now they're ready to purchase their self-storage. And they come to your website organically through an organic Google listing and not on an ad click, even though you're still advertising that day. And then they fill out a form and they become a conversion for you. If your click-through conversion window, as I understand it, is set to 30 days, if they come back to your site through any means, but say organically in this case, within those 30 days, that keyword they clicked within the 30 days will get credit for this conversion that happened, say, 23, 24 days later from a different source, organic. That's how I understand it. So there's a lot of implications from this. Chris, is that generally how you look at the click-through conversion window?
Yeah, it is. This one thing causes probably the most fights between Google Analytics metrics and Google Ads, or people that are using one source of data versus Google Ads, because if you listen to this and read the help documentation specifically, you'll realize that conversion is attributed to the click. The click-through conversion window is associated with the click. So if they did, just like Jason said, and they converted 25 days later, that conversion will retroactively show to the click that happened earlier that month or 25 days ago. So that's where you get a lot of discrepancy between conversion numbers. So the conversion may have come through in real life on, you know, sometime in September, but Google Ads will show that conversion came through the month before, not on that day that it actually came through. So this is a very important thing. So if you allow a long time on this number, 180 days or something like that, you know, you may get data that's 180 days late. So, you know, it's an important number.
Hey, Chris,
to consider.
Let me jump in there too. I'm guilty of this too. I was thinking, and I said it earlier, maybe over 100 days, that kind of thing. I think what happened is we're thinking about display campaigns where you can do more of this with remarketing and bigger windows. I'm looking at it now, and it looks like you got to have a window between 1 and 90.
Okay.
So if you're a moving company and people need a mover, and you know, do I necessarily want to give keywords credit from 80 days ago when they're possibly coming from another source of traffic?
Yeah.
In a business like moving, where they call and you really get those conversions quickly, probably not. But then you think about something like a realtor. I mean, people, from the time they start looking around for a realtor to the time they sign with someone, it can be a lot of time because things come up. And in that case, maybe I do go all the way out to 90. I know some Google Ads managers have told their clients they would like to see an option in there from the day that Google Ads Manager was born on planet Earth. So they get credit going all the way back in time and make their conversion data look good. That's not possible, as we see 1 to 90 here. Chris, you know, as a Google Ads manager, you definitely have different considerations. It would be great if we got – and by the way, I'm seeing on click to call here – it looks like you have a cap of 30 days as opposed to a lead form 90 days. So I think for us, obviously we want to see conversions and get credit and stuff. So you have that factor and clients want to know what they're getting their conversions from. But at the same time, you know, on lead forms, 90 days versus 30, I kind of like judging keywords harshly and not giving them too much credit. And so I would say there's nothing wrong with the default of 30 on both calls and lead forms. Is that where you see yourself as your default, and you really need to see a reason to go to 90 or higher than 30 for lead forms? It's got to be client specific. Would you say 30 is a good default?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I rarely move it above 30 because, I mean, who's looking at data 3 months old and making decisions, you know, on a regular basis? You know, I mean, most of the time it's more of, you know, what's happening now more so than what's happened in the past 4 months to what I'm going to change now. You know, there's always things that are changing. So yeah, I think 30 days is pretty much default. Totally fine with that.
Yeah, Chris. And You know, that's those are kind of the big ones. There's a lot more settings, but those are the big ones. You know, we get asked about the Tag Assistant by a lot of clients. I do use the Tag Assistant in Chrome. I like it. But it, to me, it's a starting point. It'll kind of tell you if you're having a big problem or not. And then finally to wrap up here, Chris, you know, thank you. So how do you track forms?
Oh, please.
Thank you page.
Tell them.
Versus clicks on a button.
Tell them.
Thank you page is when someone fills out the form, goes to a thank you page. You put conversion code on that thank you page. When they see that thank you page, you get a conversion. The other alternative is you can track when they click on a button on your website, when they click the button to submit a form completion or a contact form or a meeting booking and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes that's your only option, but I would say for me, I have just found a lot more success and it's a lot easier to track thank you pages. And I kind of recommend that to clients. It keeps things simple. And you actually know someone actually went there as opposed to just clicking on a button. Would you say it's a lot easier in your experience seeing clients, getting them to fill out a – getting them to do the thank you page tracking and not the submit a button? Do you think it's a lot easier in your experience?
Oh, man.
And am I understating a lot easier, meaning like this is hot versus cold, 100 versus zero? This, like, I've had a lot of problems with clicks on a button that I don't want to
– I don't understand.
Bring up and trigger myself. But yeah, Chris, it's rough.
I don't know. I mean, I guess what has happened with this – landing page thing, and the reason why we are so adamant about it and why we talk about it so much is because in WordPress and all these other systems that are so prevalent, there's a very common contact form that has this little accordion feature, right? That pops down and says, thanks for filling out the form. We'll talk to you soon. That little accordion thing is the bane of Google Ads conversion tracking. It is absolutely destructive because I see so many people do it wrong and they put the code in what they think is that little
Chris,
accordion.
You're very successful. There's no reason to get stressed. You're also very old now and you can't afford to get stressed. So let's just, you know, take it easy. Thank you form is an option, or thank you page is an option. You're going to get me stressed. It is a very difficult thing to be, you know. One thing I like to say to people, and this is based in truth, I've never seen it successfully done. Oh, clicks on a button.
Yep.
I've never seen it happen. And this is years and years and years of people trying. I don't know what it is about it, but it's a level of coding that the average website person or agency or business owner just doesn't have. And it's so easy to just track the thank you page. I have heard it from web designers that they like the functionality of clicks on a button, meaning you stay on the page, but I have never seen anything wrong with thank you pages.
The one thing I'll give, why do a thank you page for a conversion tracking is this: the ability to audit, the ability to check and see if it's working right. If they go to the page, you can check in Google Ads to see what the conversion URL was, and you can see it. Boom, 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 boom. I see it every time. I see where the code is. That's nice. That alone makes a massive difference.
I thought you were going to go Google Analytics there, and I was thinking about ways you could audit it with Google Analytics.
No,
how many people have seen the thank you page that initially came from Google Ads? But you're saying there is a way inside Google Ads to see your conversion, the page where people converted.
Yes, I can see that. Beautiful. That conversion page URL. So that's
and if important. I can make one more argument here for the thank you page, and then we'll close here. To me, thank you pages from a business perspective, and I'm happy to give this away because I want to emphasize the business, the thank you page, and get people to do that because it makes Google Ads, to me, more effective and easier to track. But it allows you to sell people one more time, to get a message to people one more time. And then the other thing if they feel it allows you to A/B test those thank you pages and see what people did on them and if they stuck around on their site. There's just so many possibilities with it. And then different pages for different forms. So many things you can do. The key thing here, though, is, you know, for the question we get from clients, you know, should we do the thank you page or clicks on a button? Just so much easier and, in our experience, accurate. Or easier, and that leads to accuracy to track the thank you page. And so that's what we like doing. But, Chris, that's our episode on conversions. We break it down very simple, the ways you can track conversions, and then we broke it down the different settings and how to interpret those settings. So I think it was a great episode. I think we were able to help a lot of people. And Chris, why don't you tell us about your training service, and we'll get out of here.
Quick announcement. I'm very happy to announce that I am now offering a monthly subscription to training videos. So if you are interested in that, just check out the link. It's actually on Patreon. So if you use Patreon, it's very affordable monthly service to kind of get direct on-screen training videos from me. So I've launched that. I have lots of people that are in it, and a great community, a great way to get, just better at Google Ads.
Thank you, Chris. And I'm at RothmanPPC.com for Google Ads management and consulting. So thanks for listening, everybody. And we will see you next time on the Paid Search Podcast.